Right, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Samach Gimel. We left off at the conclusion of the sixth parak yesterday on Samach Beis and Mabeis, and today we are going to begin the second, the seventh parak of the Masechta, parak Maruba, which is going to talk. We're going to see a Mishnah. We're going to see Gemara expounding Klal Prat to Klal with Ribuyim and Miyutim, all about the halachos of Tashlume Kefel and Tashlume Dalet Vehei. So just a little bit of an introduction as to what Tashlume Kefel, and today's Gemara is going to be sort of a little bit technical back and forth, teaching us all the various halachos with respect to which Kefel and Dalet Vehei apply. But just generally, Bederech Hakdama, there are two types of what we saw yesterday, a chamsin, but generally speaking, there are two types of thieves. There's a ganav, who's somebody who goes into somebody else's rishus, goes into somebody else's property without his knowledge, and steals surreptitiously. So that's called a ganav. And then a gazlan is somebody who is a little bit more brazen. So a gazlan is somebody who goes into somebody else's rishus with that person's knowledge that he's there. In other words, it's sort of like an armed robbery, if you want to think, not necessarily an armed robbery, but it's a more brazen type of robbery where the gazlan actually goes in sort of not undercover. He goes in with the victim's knowledge, with force, and then he takes whatever he winds up taking. Now, there is a din which we're all familiar with, which we'll learn about, which we'll learn a lot about today, which is Tashlume Kefel. So Tashlume Kefel is that if there's a ganav who steals something, then the ganav, and then there were edim that the ganav stole, then when the ganav returns what he stole, not only does he return the keren, not only does he return the actual object that he stole, but he also has to pay tashlume kefel. He has to pay a fine, double the amount of the object. That halach of kefel applies only to a ganav. It doesn't apply to a gazlan, all right? And there's also, we're familiar with, from the psukim in the Torah, in addition to tashlume kefel, we're familiar with the concept of tashlume arba v'chamisha, tashlume dalet v'hei, that ordinarily speaking, even though you have to pay kefel, then if you steal a shor or seh, and tavacho o macharo, and then you wind up destroying the animal because you either wind up shechting the animal or you wind up selling the animal, so you can't return, there is no animal left to return to the owner, then not only do you pay kefel, but you pay tashlume arba v'chamisha. If it's a shor, you pay tashlume arba. If it's a seh, which kicks around a little bit more, you have to carry it all the time, then you have to pay, I'm sorry, if it's a seh, you have to pay tashlume arba. If it's a shor, then you have to pay tashlume chamisha. Again, that's only by a ganav, not by a gazlan. So the Mishnah is going to talk a lot about the halachas of kefel versus dalet vehei, the various circumstances in which they apply. Does one apply in a more broad set of circumstances than the other? So says the Mishnah, beginning the seventh parak, Meruba midas tashlume kefel, midas tashlume arba v'chamisha. So the tashlume kefel, the halachas of tashlume kefel are broader, they're more expansive than the halachas of tashlume arba v'chamisha. Shemidas tashlume kefel noheges beimedavar sheish bo ruachayim, beimedavar sheim bo ruachayim. Because kefel applies whether you steal some living object or an inanimate object, whatever you steal, if there are edim who come and testify that you stole, then when you make restitution, you not only have to pay back the value of the item, but you have to pay back double the value of the item. However, tashlume arba v'chamisha, by definition, applies only for stealing a shor or a seh. So by definition, it applies only to something that has ruachayim. Umidas tashlume arba v'chamisha in an eges ela b'shar v'seh b'lvad. Shenemar, because it says right in the pasuk, Yignavish Sharoset Tvacho Omacharo. And Eina Gonev Achara Gana Meshalim Teshlume Kefel. The Mishnah now says another halacha that a gonev achar aganav. Let's say Reuven steals from Shimon steals from Reuven, and then Levi steals from Shimon. So when Shimon steals from Reuven, he would certainly be chayev to pay tashlumei kefel. What happens when Levi steals from Shimon? Shimon himself is a ganav. What happens when Levi steals from Shimon? Is he mechuyev to pay tashlumei kefel? So the Mishnah says, no, he's not mechuyev. A gonev achar a ganav is not mechuyev to pay tashlumei kefel. Why not? So the Ksos explains that somebody who steals from a ganav is not considered himself to be a ganav at all, and he doesn't even have to return the thing that he stole. In other words, not only does he not have to make the kefel payment, but a gonev achar a ganav, it's sort of a misnomer, because he's not considered to be a ganav because he's taking something from the possession of somebody who had no business holding the thing that he was holding. So if you steal from a rightful owner, then you're considered to be a ganav. If you take something from somebody who never had a right to the object himself, then you're not even considered a ganav, says the Ksos. The Chazon Ish says that no, it's not that you're not considered a ganav. Levi has no right to the object, even though he took it from somebody who himself had no right to the object. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, you are chayev to return the actual object to Shimon, the actual object to the first ganav. However, you are not chayev to make the tashlumei kefel payments. You're not chayev to pay kefel, and you're not chayev to dalid, and you're not chayev for dalid vehei, because even though you do have to return the object, it's not that we're viewing the object now as hefker. Still, the concept of making tashlumei kefel is only when it's gunav mibeis ha'ish, we'll say in the Gemara. It's only when you steal it from the house of the owner, but not when you steal it from the house of somebody who himself stole the object. So that's the second halach of the Mishnah. Eina gonev achar agana mashalim tashlumei kefel, v'lo amochar achar agana mashalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha. What happens if Shimon steals a shar or a seh, and then instead of Shimon selling it or shechting it, Levi comes and takes it from Shimon and shechts it or sells it? Is Levi going to be chayiv to make the tashlumei arba v'chamisha payment? And the answer is no. He is not going to be chayev to make that payment. And the reason is, say the Mefarshim, that the Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha is really, it's really an extension of Tashlumei Kefel. In other words, the four or five-fold payment that you have to make includes the two-fold payment that any ganav has to make. And therefore, if you're not going to be chayev in the two-fold payment, then there is no such thing as Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. That concludes the Mishnah. Says the Gemara now. So it says, Ve'ilu midas tashlumei kefel noheges bein beganav bein betoin tanas ganav. From the fact that in the Mishnah we don't say that kefel is more expansive than arba v'chamisha, because kefel applies both by a ganav himself or by somebody who's toin tanas ganav. What's somebody who's toin tanas ganav? A toin tanas ganav is, let's say you have a shomer chinam who claims that something was stolen, because a shomer chinam is potter migneva. So a shomer chinam, when he watches an object, is potter from gneva. He's potter if the object was stolen. So somebody's a shomer chinam over an object. The object is he loses the object, okay, or the object is no longer there. The owner comes and claims the object, and the shomer chinam says, "I'm sorry, it was stolen." So then Edom come and say, and he takes a shvua. Edom come and say that he actually then stole the object himself. Then he's going to be chayef to pay tashlumei kefel. This is a new gzeiras hakasov. Why? Because the ikur din of kefel is only somebody who is kones letoch rishus chavero shalo kedin. It's only applies, the halacha in the Torah applies only by a ganav, who is somebody who goes into somebody else's rishus shalo kedin and takes something. Over here, the chiddush is that when the guy became a shomer chinam, he was actually kedin because the person had asked him to watch the object, so the item was brought into his rishus, birishus, the object was brought into his rishus with permission of the owner. The only thing is that after it was brought into his rishus, the shomer chinam was actually mekayim the object in his rishus without rishus. The shomer chinam actually withheld the object without the rishus of the original owner. So, says the Gemara, from the fact that we don't say that kefel is noeg both by a ganav as well as by a shomer chinam who's toin tanas ganav and is later found out to be lying, umidas tashlumi arbava chamisha ena neheges ella beganav bovad lo katani. And it doesn't say that as opposed to tashlumi kefel, which is shayach in both cases, tashlumi arbava chamisha is only shayach by a ganav, but not by a toin tainas ganav. So misayele la rabchia baraba. So from the fact that we don't draw that inference in the Mishnah, it's a riot to rabchia baraba. Why? Damar rabchia baraba, am rav Yochanan, hatoin tainas ganav bepikadon. If a person is toin tainas ganav bepikadon, then mishalim tashlumi kefel. Because the sheet of Rav Chia Bar Abba is that both by a ganav and by a toin tanas ganav, they're chayiv both in tashlumei kefel and in tashlumei arba v'chamisha. So our Mishnah, which is drawing distinctions or attempting to draw distinctions between kefel and dalet v'hei, from the fact that we don't draw a distinction in the case of toin tanas ganav, it's mashma like Rav Chia Bar Abba, who says that by toin tanas ganav, you're chaya for everything that the ganav would himself be chaya for. Say ikadamri lemem esayele the Rav Chia Bar Abba. Others have a more direct approach here and say, let's say that our Mishnah is a riot to Rav Chia Bar Abba. Tem Rav Chia Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, toin tanas ganav, bepikadam mishalim tashlumei kefel, tavachumacha mishalim tashlumei arbava chamisha. So from the fact that our Mishnah says that when we try to draw a distinction between kefel and arba v'chamisha, we say meruba midas tashlumei kefel midas tashlumei arba v'chamisha, because kefel is shayich both for live objects and inanimate objects, and dalavei is only shayich for live objects. From the fact that we don't try to draw a distinction between the halacha by ganav and by toin tanas ganav, it's mashma that we paskan like Rav Chia Bar Abba, who says that they both apply by toin tanas ganav. So says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Miktani ain bain meruba ktani tana v'shir. It's not saying ain bain tashlumei kefel tashlumei arba v'chamisha. That ain bain sugya we had, I think it was in Maseches Nedarim, we have all of these ain bain sugyas. Okay, but over here, we're not trying to draw every distinction versus every parallel in the halachas of kefel and the halachas of dalavei. We're just using one example of a halacha in which the halacha of kefel applies in a broader range of circumstances than the halacha of dalavei. It's meruba. Okay, so for meruba, we know it's not necessarily a raya one way or another, as to the halacha of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. So says the Gemara, Shemidas Tashlumei Kefal Noheges. So we say in the Mishnah that the Midas Tashlumei Kefal is Noeg, whether it's Bedover Sheyesh Bar Ruach Chaim or Bedover Sheyem Bar Ruach Chaim. So says the Gemara, Minani Mili. How do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanon, because we have an Ebraisa as follows. Al Kol Dvar Pesha is Klal. Al Shor Chamar Al Sev Al Salma Prat. All of these specific examples is the Prat. Al Kol Aveda Chazar V'Kalal, Chazar V'Klal. Klal Prat to Klal, Iyata Dan Ela Kena Frat. So Klal Prat to Klal, we don like the Frat. Ma Frat Mefurish Dover Ametalto V'Gufa Mamon. Afkol Dover Ametalto V'Gufa Mamon. Just like Shor Chamor, Se, Salma, the common denominator, the common thread between all four of those is that they are a Dover Ametalto that can be carried V'Gufa Mamon, and they have extrinsic worth. So anything that could be carried and has extrinsic worth is going to be included in the halacha of kefel. What does this come to exclude? Yotzu karkos sheina metaltalin. So it applies only to metaltalin, to the exclusion of karka, because karka can't be carried. Yotzu avadim shukshulu karkos. Also excludes avadim, because avadim lahalacha have the status of karka. Yatsu Shtaro, Shafal Pisha Metaltlan, Ein Gufa Mamon. It also comes to exclude Sharos, like a promissory note, because even though they can be carried, even though they are Metaltl, Ein Gufa Mamon. They're not Gufa Mamon. What does it mean, Ein Gufa Mamon? Because the purpose of the promissory note is to evidence how much somebody owes somebody else. It's not something that has an extrinsic value, an intrinsic value, rather, itself. So, Yatsa Hektish, Rei Eyuksiv. And then it also comes to exclude somebody who steals from Hektish, because the Pasuk also says Re'ehu. So it says Yishalev Shnayim L'Re'ehu by Kefel. So you have to pay Re'ehu Kefel, but you don't have to pay the Kefel payment to Hektish. So says the Gemara, Well, Ima Prat Mefurish Dover Shenevlasa Metame B'maga V'masa, Afkal Dover Shenevlasa Metame B'maga V'masa Avol Ofos Lo. So in that case, I might think, well, look at the examples of the animals given in the Pasuk. It's Al Shar, Al Chamar, Alseh, so just like all of these animals are animals where their nevela, the carcass, is tameh b'maga b'masa, if you touch it or if you carry it, maybe it comes to exclude ofos, birds, which are not metameh b'maga b'masa, because an of, or we'll see later, an of tahar, is tameh, is metameh, if it's a nevela, is metameh only if you eat it. And that's called tumas beis habliya. That's called the tumas achila, which is metameh bebeis habliya. It only takes effect when it passes through your throat. It only is metameh when you eat it. Now, it happens to be the halacha by a bird is after you eat it, it does metameh, it is metameh, your begadim and your entire guf. But the way to become tameh with tumas nevela sa'of is not if you touch it, not if you hold it, it's only if you eat it. So maybe we should take the common denominator of shor, chamor, and seh, and say just like these things are things that become tameh, the nevela becomes tameh through magar masa, maybe the halacha only applies, maybe the halacha of kefil only applies to things that become tameh b'magar b'masa, but wouldn't apply to, maybe wouldn't apply to ofos. So says the Gemara, can you really say that it applies only to things where the nevela is tameh b'maga b'masa, but it doesn't apply to anything else? It says v'hasal maksiv. But shor, chamor, seh are not the only things that are written in the pasuk. It also says salma, and salma, it shows not only things, not only animate objects that become tameh, where the nevela becomes tameh through a different means than shor, chamor, seh, but even inanimate objects are included in the halacha of kefil. So Amri, anan b'balei chayim kamrinan. No, I know that inanimate objects are included in the halacha of kefil, but maybe the purpose of shor, chamor, and seh in the pasuk will come to teach me that when we're applying the halacha to live objects, it only applies to things whose nevela becomes tameh with maga and masa. So, ema b'balei chayim davar shein havlasa metameh b'maga b'masa in davar shein havlasa metameh b'maga b'masa lo da kol chad v'chad klal uprat bapei nafshei darshinan lei aval ofos lo. So says the Gemara. Well, I might think even though we know that kefil applies also to inanimate objects, maybe in the realm of live objects, it applies only to things where the nevela is tameh b'maga b'masa, but maybe it doesn't apply to ofos. So says the Gemara, well, imke nichtav rachmana chad prata. But no, if the purpose of the pasuk were to be memayit ofos, then the pasuk only would have had to teach us only one prat. It wouldn't have had to teach us all of these pratos. So says the Gemara, hay nichtav, which one? If we were going to pick one, which one should the pasuk have written? If it only would have written shar, then Then I might have thought that the only time you're chayef tashlume kefil is for an object like a shar that's fit to be brought as a karban. And if the pasuk would have said chamar, I might have thought that it applies only to an object where the bechor of the object is kadosh. That applies by chamor. We have halacha peter chamor. Also, the halacha of bechor applies by shor and seh, of course, as well. So I might think that it applies only to an animal which is kadosh bebechora, but an animal which is not kadosh bebechora, it does not apply to. Well, if that were the case, then it could have just written shor and chamor. Selamali, why does it come to include that? Why does it include se as well? So shmamina lasuye ofos. So the shmamina comes to include not only all these types of live animals, but also ofos as well. So says the Gemara of Eimel lasuye ofos tohorim dumya de se de metame begadim abes ablia aval ofos tmeim de lesbe tuma klal metame begadim abes ablia de lesbu tuma de lo metame begadim abes ablia. Low. So I might think, well, in that case, if we know from the prat where it says not only shor, not only chamor, but also seh, that comes to teach me that we should include ofos. Maybe I would only learn from there that I come to include a certain type of ofos, and that's only ofos tar, because ofos tar, at least they have a common denominator. At least they also impose tumah. Abes ablia, even though they don't impose tuma b'maga b'masa, they impose tuma abes ablia. But maybe ofos tomeos, which don't impose tuma at all, even if you swallow them, the nevela of an of tame still is not metame you. In that case, maybe they should not be included here. So how do I know to include an of tame as well? So the answer is, so kol ribuyahu, because now we deviate from the klala prata klal. So kol, we're not darshaning klala prata klal anymore. Now we're darshaning a ribuy, because the pasuk had said, al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al seh, al salma, al kol aveda asher yomar kiuzeh. And then the pasuk concludes, yishalev shnayim l'reyeu. So this kol is a ribuy. So a ribuy is generally more expansive. A ribuy is something that's marba kol, it's marba everything, not only things which are doma to the prat. So we were trying to learn that the pasuk should include only things that are doma to the prat. Therefore we add the havamina. Maybe it doesn't include an of tame, because an of tame is not metame like these other animals that are written in the pasuk are metame. So comes the Gemara and says, no, we're not darshaning kol prat klal. We're darshaning kol, and kol is much more expansive. It comes to include everything, even if it shares no common characteristic with the things that are specified with the prat. So says the Gemara, the kol hecha the kasev kol ribuyahu. Really, but every time it says kol, and it, here again it says kol avedas achicha, is that really a ribuy? V'agabe meiser the chsev kol. I by meiser it says the word kol v'kadarshina le b'klal prat, and yet we're dorish b'klal prat. Where does it say kol agabe meiser? D'tanya v'nasato akesef b'chol asher tave nafshecha b'bakar v'atzon v'yayim v'shechar. So it says by Meiser Sheni that you have to you could deconsecrate the Meiser Sheni on money, and then you could transport the money to Yerushalayim, right? Because for ease of transport, because Meiser Sheni has to be in Yerushalayim, and when you get to Yerushalayim, the pasuk tells us that you could buy certain things with the money of Meiser Sheni, and then you could consume those things in Yerushalayim. And what does it say? It says Venasata Keset Bakol Asher Tava Nafshecha, whatever you want, klal. That's a klal. Babakar Vatson Vayayim Beshechar Prat, that's a Prat. It gives four examples of things that you could buy. Ubachal Asher Tisholcha Nafshecha Kazar Vaklal, that's a second Klal. Kala Prat Klal, yet to done Elakena Prat. Ma Prat Mefurash Pri Mepri Agdule Karka. Afkol Pri Pri Magdule Karka. Just like the Prat are Pri Mepri, they're things that give birth to one another. And Yayin and Shechar is considered to be as if it has its genesis from the, like wine has its genesis from the grape. Shechar has its genesis from the tamarim and stuff, and therefore, and obviously, an animal is something that's prime pre gdule karka. We understand better by yayin and shechar. We understand it less by bakar or batzon. Although the Gemara there winds up telling us that by bakar or batzon, the reason that it's called gdule karka is because the animals graze off the land, and therefore they develop sustenance. They're sustained off the land. But over here, what we see is, forgetting about the actual halacha of Meiser Sheni, because that's besides the point, the reason that the Gemara brings us down is because we wanted to say that in our pasuk, when it says kol, it's a ribuy. But the Gemara asks, whenever we say kol, it's not necessarily a ribuy, because over here in the halacha, in the pesukim of Meiser Sheni, we have the word kol, and the word kol here is darshan b'chlal prat, not with a ribuy. So how can you tell me here that kol is a ribuy? So says the Gemara, amri bakol klala. You have to look carefully. What does it say? It says, Bekol asher tava nafshecha, ubechol asher tishelcha. It doesn't say kol, it says bakol. So maybe where it says bakol is klalaprat, and kol is ribuyu. Maybe where it says kol, basic kol, like it says in our pasuk, maybe that's a ribuy. Viba seima, kol klalahu, or maybe kol is a klal, but miu kol da'acha ribuyu. Or maybe, generally speaking, kol is a klala prata klal. It should not be darshan with a ribuy. However, the kol over here we know should be darshan with a ribuy. So says the Gemara, michti, ksiv me kara klala prata klal. Over here, because over here, it had already said in a prior pasuk, it had already said klala prata klal. Why? The ksiv, ki iten ish el reyeyu, kesef o kele klal, that's a klal, whatever you give to your friend. Kesef o kelem is prat. Lishmar hadar v'klal. And when we say lishmar, it comes to add a klal again. Vis al kadaita chai al kol dvar pesha nami l'chlal pratu dasa. And if you wanted to say the pasuk that we've been darshaning the whole time of al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al sama, al kol avedas achicha, etc., etc., if you wanted to say that that should also be darshan with klal pratu klal, zenichlev rachman alhani prate gabe heyach klal pratu klal, al kol dvar pesha lamali. So the pasuk could have combined these two, the pasuk could have combined these two psukim together, because the first pasuk is al kol dvar pesha al shor chamar al sel sama, etc. And the immediately following pasuk is kiten ishal reyu kesef kiten ishal reyu chamor shor sev kol be malishmar umeso nishbar onishbe onishba ein roe. So if these two psukim were supposed to be darshan by klal prata klal, so lechora the pasuk could have combined all of the pratim and all of the klalim together. Why do we have two separate klal prata klal here? Shmamina ribuihu. So shmamina that specifically this instance of kol should not be darshan with klal prata klal. It should be darshan as a ribui. Says the Gemara. Well, hasha damit kol ribuihu. Hani prati lamali. Well, so in that case, if you're going to say that kol's a ribui, so why do I need all these pratim? So if we're going to be marba everything, again, a ribui, the difference between a ribui and klal prata klal is that a ribui is marba not only things that are similar to the prat, but it's marba literally everything. So in that case, why do I need all these pratim? So says the Gemara, so hani prati lamali, so chad lamute karka. Well, because we did say that we are mamayit certain things. One is to exclude karka, b'chad l'miyutei avadim, and the other is to exclude avadim, b'chad l'miyutei shtaros, and the other is to exclude shtaros, because it said that the common denominator between all three, again, is a davra metaltel v'gufa mamon. Karka is not metaltlin, avadim is hukash l'karkos, and shtaros is ein gufa mamon, because it represents money, but it itself is not worth money. But says the Gemara, Salma, and Salma is l'mute davar shena misuyim. Salma comes to exclude a davar shena misuyim, something that is not set. What does it mean, a davar shena misuyim? So over here we have a machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Rashi says, Salma yeshla simanim, kedarmina be'ilu mitzios, mas Salma miyuchedes sheyeshla simanim, estam Salma has simonim. So when we say a davar shena mesuyam, it means that the only time you're chayiv a tashlumei kefal payment is for something that has a designating mark, something that has an actual simon. Tosfa says, why in the world would you be chayiv to pay kefal only if you steal something that has a simon? Let's say you steal the most nondescript item in the world, but you stole the item. Why should the fact that the item doesn't have a simon mean that you're not chayiv for tashlumei kefal? That makes no sense. So Frek Tosfa says, Perish Akuntras Dover Shane Labalam Simon Bavakosha Mali Yeshbo Simon Mali Ainbo Simon. What difference does it make? So therefore he brings down the revolve here in Tosfos. Kigo Naidit Nam Bishvuas Adayanim Ainish Bon Ella Al Dovar Shebemida Shebemishkol Vishabeminyan Lafuke Bayis Mole Masarti Lachavikis Mole. So in other words, when we say Mesuyam, it doesn't mean Simon. But it means that, and again, over here we're talking about a toin tanas ganav, where somebody takes something to watch as a shomer chinam, the owner comes and asks for the object back, and the guy says, sorry, it was stolen. And he takes a shvua, then Adam come and say that he stole it, Adam come and say that he stole it himself, then he's going to be chayev to make the kefal payment. Now, you're only chayev a shvua on a davar mesuyam. If somebody comes and claims that you stole a specific amount of something, like if I claim you stole a bushel, 4 bushels of wheat from me, and you say no, then I can impose a shvu on you. If, however, I come and say that you stole a warehouse full is too non-descriptive, because we don't know how much the warehouse is, we don't know how much was in it, we don't know what the claim is. So mesuyim, says Tosfos, doesn't mean a dover that has a simen, it means something that has a defined amount. Okay, now Alkola Veda, and Alkola Veda, back in the Gemara, 3 lines up from the bottom, Alkola Veda is Lichta Rav Chiya Bar Abba. That's for the Halacha Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Dama Rav Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan, Hatoin Tanas Ganav Ba Aveda. If a person is Toin Tanas Ganav by Aveda, so what does that mean? It means that he's a Motze Aveda, he finds an Aveda, and when you find an Aveda, you're chayef to safeguard it until you can return it to its owner and perform the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. He then claims that the object was stolen from him, and it turns out that he was lying. He actually stole it himself. So Toin Tanas Ganav Aveda Mishalem Tashlumei Kefal. So if a person's motzi aveda and then winds up being toin tanas ganav, he has to pay tashlumei kefal for that as well. Shenemar, al kol aveda asher yomar, because the pasuk says al kol aveda asher yomar. So why does it mention aveda? Well, it comes and mentions aveda because if you find an aveda and then later claim that it was stolen from you, you're going to be chayev to make the kefal payment if it later turns out that you stole it yourself. So says the Gemara Vayter, second line down. It's non hasam. Heichan Piktoni, if a person says, where's my Pikadon? Somerle Avad, he says it was lost. Mashbiachani, the guy says, well, I want you to take a Shvua. Viamar Amen, and he says Amen. And Amen is the way he takes the Shvua. If you answer Amen to somebody's statement that you want that he wants you to take a Shvua, that itself is a Shvua. And then Ve'edim Eidinos Asha'achlo, and then other Eidim come and say that it was never actually lost. Rather, the guy himself consumed the object because the guy himself stole the object. So Mishalim is a Karen. Then he has to pay Karen. And then he has to pay Karen. Why? Because if you pay attention, what happened over here was the guy said, Heichan Pikdoni, where's my Pikadon? And the other guy said, didn't say, oh, it was stolen. He said it was lost. Then he imposed a shvua, and it turns out that he actually ate it himself. Fine. But the only time you're chayav to shlumei kefel is by either a ganav or by toy tainas ganav. It's either if you stole it yourself, or if when somebody comes and asks you, where's the object, you say, oh, it was stolen. And then it turns out that you were lying and you stole it yourself. For toy tainas ganav, you're chayav to shlumei kefel. For toy tainas nevad, for toy taina that it was lost, that you're not going to be chayav kefel for. Therefore, it says the Gemara, you only have to pay Karen. Of course, you have to pay back the principal because you were watching this object and you should have safeguarded the object. Now, Hodel Piatzmo, if you, without the Edom coming, if you are then Modeh yourself that you actually consumed the object, that it was never really lost, that you took it, then Mishalem Karen v'Chomesh v'Asham. Then you have to pay Karen and Chomesh and Asham. Why? Because you swore falsely, and when you swear falsely and then admit it, you're gonna have to bring a Karban Asham, and whenever you're mechayiv to bring a Karban Asham, you're also mechayiv to add a Chomesh, to add a fifth on top of the Karen payment. Okay, now next case. Heichan Pikdoni, where's my Pikadon? Amar lo Nignav. Now the guy says it was stolen. Mashbiach Aniv Amar Amen. The guy takes a Shvua. Ve'edim Eidinoso Shagunvo. And then Eidim come and testify that he himself stole the object. Then Mishalim Teshlume Kefel. Then he has to pay Kefel. Hodem Yatzmo, if he admits himself without the Eidim coming, then Mishalim Karen Chomesh V'Asham. Then he has to pay only Karen Chomesh V'Asham. He doesn't have to pay Kefel. Aik Tani Mias Betoin Tainas Ganav de Mishalim Teshlume Kefel. But what we say over here is only by Toin Tainas Ganav you have to make the Kefel payment. Aval Betoin Tainas Obad Lo Mishalim Teshlume Kefel. And if you make a taina that it was lost, which is the first case that we saw in Amud Beis, then you don't have to pay teshlume kefel. Va'afilu toin tainas ganav b'shvua hu demishalim teshlume kefel. Avol shloa b'shvua eina mishalim teshlume kefel. And even by toin tainas ganav, the only time you have to pay kefel is where the other fellow imposed a shvua on him. He said it was stolen. The other guy said, yeah, let me make you take a shvua. He said, amen. So he took a shvua. Then made them come and say that he actually stole it himself. It's only in that case that you have to make the kefel payment. So minani mili. So says the Gemara, how do I know all this? How do I know that I pay kefel only by toin tainas ganav, not by toin tainas avad? And how do I also know that I'm only chayav the kefel payments when I'm toin tainas ganav and then I took a shvua? And that without the shvua, I'm not toin tainas ganav. How do I know all of that stuff? All those halachas, the Tana Rabbanim. Im Yimotze Aganav, it says Im Yimotze Aganav, Betoin Tanas Ganav Akasa Medaber. So the Pasuk is talking about Toin Tanas Ganav. At Omer Betoin Tanas Ganav, Oin Ela Begone, Ela Beganav Atzmo. How do you know you're talking about Toin Tanas Ganav? Maybe you're only talking about the Ganav himself. Kesho Omer Im Lo Yimotze Aganav, because from the fact that it says if the Ganav is not found, and if we're talking about where the guy stole it himself, why would we say Im Lo Yimotze Aganav? It's mashma that somebody else stole it, or that he claims somebody else stole it. Betoin tanas ganav akasa medaber. Tani idach im yimatzei aganav. Maybe im yimatzei aganav means beganav atzmo akasa medaber. The pasuk is only talking where he stole himself. Ata omer beganav atzmo eino elo betoin tanas ganav. Maybe it applies by toin tanas ganav. Keshu omer im lo yimatzei aganav. When it says im lo yimatzei aganav arei toin tanas ganav amar, that is talking about toin tanas ganav. Ha ma ani mekayim. So over here we see a basis for imposing the kefel payment both for a case of ganav atzmo, both for a case where he himself stole it, and a case where he is toin tanas ganav. So, de kuli amamiyas im lo yimatzei aganav betoin tanas ganav. It appears that everybody agrees that the psukim that say im lo yimatzei aganav, that's referring to toin tanas ganav. So my mashma, how do we know this? What's the mashmo? So Amar Rava, im lo yimatzei kamasha amar, if it's not found to be like he said, elashu atzmo ganvo, if it's not found, if it doesn't come out to be like he said, which is that somebody else stole it, but rather he himself stole it, then yishalem shnayim, then you have to make the kefil payment, because you're chayiv in the kefil payment, not only by ganav atzmo, but also by toin tanas ganav, and then later it's found out that he stole it. Now, how do I know the second halacha? How do I know that I'm chayav kefil only if I'm toin tanas ganav and then I actually take a shvua? How do I know that? The Tanya, because over here we have another brisa. V'nikrav balabayis el Elohim. It says, V'nikrav balabayis el Elohim. L'shvua. And el Elohim, why is he going to basin? He's going to basin to take a shvua. Zat omer l'shvua. Yeah, really, it's for a shvua. Eino ela l'din. Maybe it's actually coming to basin for a din Torah. So nemar shlichas yad lamata. Well, it says shlichas yad by a shomer socha, v'nemar shlichas yad lamala. And it also talks about shlichas yad of appropriating or misappropriating an object by Shomer Chinam as well. Mala lan l'shvua, af kan l'shvua. Just like by Shomer Sachar, it's talking about a shvua. So too, by a Shomer Chinam, it's talking about a shvua. And the only time you're chayiv kefil by toin tanas ganav is if you wind up taking a shvua. So bishlam alaman diyamar chad beganav achad betoin tanas ganav. I understand, according to the Ma'an Emor, it says that one of these instances is talking about ganav. The other is talking, one of these cases is talking about ganav. The other case is talking about toin tanas ganav. Hanadichsev trey kroy. I understand why it says im yimatzei aganav, im lo yimatzei aganav, because one is talking about by ganav atzmo, the other is talking about by toin tanas ganav. Ela lamandi amar tavar betoin tanas ganav. However, according to the Ma'an Emor, it says that both of them are talking by toin tanas ganav, and not one of them is talking by ganav atzmo. So trei kroy lamali. Why do I need two psukim to teach me the same halacha that by toin tanas ganav I have to make the kefil payment? So amri chad lemiutei tanas avad. One of them is to exclude Tanas Avad, because what we said at the beginning of the page, at the beginning of the Amud, is that you're chai of the kefil payment only if you claim that the object was stolen from you, not if you claim that you lost the object. So the reason that we have two psukim is to teach me that the halacha dafka applies by toin tanas ganav, not by toin tanas avad. Ulaman diyamar chad beganav achad betanas ganav. But according to Ma'an Emor, it says that one is by ganav and one is by toin tanas ganav. Deloy miyaser lemiutei tanas avad. And therefore, we don't have a pasuk that's extra to exclude tanas avad. Minole, how do I know to exclude tanas avad? So says the Gemara, mi ganav haganav. So we learn it from ganav haganav. Ulaman demar tavaya betoin tanas ganav. Temiyatla toin tanas avad. So ganav haganav my darish bay. So according to the Ma'an Emor, it says that both psukim are talking about toin tanas ganav, and therefore one of the psukim can teach me to exclude tanas avad. So I don't need the words ganav haganav to teach me tanas avad, because I learned that already from one of the references in the pasuk. So what is he darshan with ganav haganav? So amri lach mi boy le lichad Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Yochanan. They need it for the halacha Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Yochanan. What's that halacha? Demar Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Yochanan a toin tanas ganav bepikadon. If a person is toin tanas ganav bepikadon with a pikadon that he was entrusted to watch, Mishalem Tishlumi Kefel, he has to pay Tishlumi Kefel. Tavachamachar, Mishalem Tishlumi Arbava Chamisha. And Tavachamachar is Mishalem Tishlumi Arbava Chamisha. So, Laman Diyamar, Chad Beganav, Chad Betoin Tanas Ganav. According to the Ma'an Emor, who says that one is written by Ganav, one is by Toin Tanas Ganav. Ganav Dahai, Ganav Haganav Afkel Miyutei Tanas Avad. So he learns one of the Ganav Haganav to exclude Tanas Avad. To Rav Chiya bar Abba Minole. But how do we know the halacha of? How do I know the halacha of Rav Chiya bar Abba that Toin Tanas Ganav Bepikadon pays? So Malacha Hekeshahu, they meshivan ala hekesh. It's a hekesh, and we can't be meshav ala hekesh. So from there we learn that, and the hekesh Rashi points out over here, it's not a hekesh like we're used to seeing hekesh. We're used to seeing a hekesh where we're makish a word in the parshias. Rashi over here, the second wide line says hekeshahu kiven the smicha la adadi hainekroy iskashi ganav v'toyin tanas ganav la adadi. Since it's it's not really a hekesh, it's rather a smichas in the parshias. The magana mishalim tashlumi arbava chamishim tavachumachar av toin tanas gana mishalim arbava chamisha vi afal gav dikala mifrach malagana vatsma shaken chayev kefal below shvua tomer betoin tanas gana shesorach shvua emish even ala hekesh. Even though you could ask that really ganav and toin tanas ganav are not exactly even, they're not exactly alike, because a ganav pays kefal whether or not he's caught swearing falsely. A toin tanas ganav only pays kefal when he's caught swearing falsely. Still, we say ein meshivin ala hekesh, ein meshivin ala hekesh. Okay, so we'll pick up over here for tomorrow. Unfortunately, we continue on with these technical halachas, klal haprat, and very technical dissection of the various psukim here.